standards here. We're wanting to go deeper. It's our theme this year, to go deeper. But we actually want to do it. We don't want to just talk about it. The scripture says deep calls on to deep. The deeper you go with the Lord, the more influence you'll have in the lives of other people. Intellect can only reach intellect. Feeling will reach feeling. And, you know, style will reach style. But when you are operating out of the depths of your spirit, when God has done something in you, it will reach the deepest areas in other people. I believe some of the things we're praying for, we're not seeing the result come because maybe we're not deep enough. That something is very deep. And you need to go deeper with the Lord so that that reaches out and touches the deep in someone else. So we talked about, what's your destination? Very practically, we talked about, where do you want to be by the end of the year? And on that journey, where's your destination? Then we talked about the route. How are you going to get there? You have to map and plan your route. Then we talked about our traveling companions. And then last week, we talked the vehicle of habit. That's a tremendous truth. Hope that you'll go back and listen to those messages because they're all important as we're going forward. The habits you have will determine. That's the vehicle that's going to take you where you need to be. It brings us to our final, not final, but our message this morning, and that is on packing your bags. Packing your bags. And sometimes we don't like to pack our bags. Sometimes it's a struggle. Mr. Bean found it to be a struggle. And so I just want you to watch this video to introduce packing your bags. All right. Well, I think we all have the experience of Mr. Bean sometimes when we are going through this. I think I have the wrong Bible here, Kay. You hand me that other Bible. All right, so we're in this journey to go deeper about packing your bags. And, you know, we watch this light, humorous thing, and we all know in the natural about packing bags. But is there anything spiritual about packing bags that we need to be aware of? Well, yes, there is. And actually, Jesus spoke about packing bags to his disciples when he sent them out. If you want to reach in your bulletin, there is a fill-in sheet that you can fill in as we go this morning. Take the main points of this message home with you. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you and heal the sick there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" Whatever your journey is, and it's all individual, we all have a specific journey of going deeper, but the end result is related to this portion of Scripture where the Lord sent out laborers. So that's what we are. We're to be influential in this world. There's a calling upon each one of our lives. He wants us to go out. He's sending us forth. And so this journey is not just our own whim, but as we have sung in the song, he's calling us deeper. He's calling us to go on this journey. And there are certain things he tells us here that we are to do as we go. But I just want to touch the end verses before we go back and look at packing this. The bags. He says, eat those things that are set before you. When you go out, there's something of just being content where you are, eating what is set before you, not being picky, not saying I got to have certain things. Just eat whatever's set before you. And then he says, and heal the sick there. You know that we're living in a sick society. The more and more I see it, there's a sick society. Physically, yes. Emotionally, yes. But mostly spiritual. People are walking in darkness. They want something better, but they don't know how to get there. And they need a healing. They need a healing spiritually and emotionally and physically. And the end result of your going deeper and being sent forth into this world is that you're going to be a greater influence for the Lord. And you're going to have the people you meet healed. And the end result is, and the kingdom of God has come near to you. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Some people will never see Jesus but what they see in you, because you are in their world and you're to show Christ to them. If you're not showing Christ to them, perhaps they won't see Christ. The kingdom of God is for us to extend and be influential and to live our lives in a way that we're influencing others. So the Lord's sending them out. But he says some curious things here, and I want to just go through these in this portion of Scripture about packing. And he says, first of all, there's some bags you should not use. There are some bags you should not use. And here's the first one, you can fill it in. A money bag. He says, don't take a money bag with you. Why wouldn't they need to take a money bag? Because if they took a money bag, they'd be relying upon the money to sustain their journey. I have so much money, or I'm running out of money, and I can't go there because I don't have enough money. And everything would be determined by the money bag. And so he's saying, don't take a money bag with you. That is not going to be your source. I can imagine their reaction when they first heard this. What do you mean, no money bag? I mean, how are we going to do it? And he's saying, just trust me. Just rely on me. Now listen, folks, it's the same today. On your spiritual journey, don't take a money bag with you. There's not room for a money bag. Listen to what the scriptures say here in 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are Christians that are suffering. They feel pierced. They feel hurt. And it's all to do around money. Interactions they have with people. Losses that they feel they sustained. Or they should have had this. Or I should be getting ahead. A feeling of discontent. It all comes out of how much money do I have in the bag. The money bag. The Lord says, don't take that on your spiritual journey. Listen to what it says in Haggai 1 and verse 6. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. This portion of scripture in Haggai is speaking, he's encouraging them to give to the temple that is being restored. And some of the people had not put money to rebuild the temple. They had put money to build their own homes. And so the prophet says to them, you are putting your money in the wrong place. You are using your money and you're not giving it, but you're keeping it. You're putting it in a bag. But he said the bags have holes in it. Riches are fleeting. Money is the god of this world, because with money you can pretty well get everything that this world offers. It's the currency of the world system, money. Now listen, we need to handle money. In a very practical way, you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your mortgage, you have to pay the utilities, you need to buy a car, you need to buy gas, you need to buy clothes. We use money. So it's not money that's the problem. It's the love of money or the trust in money. We all have to use money. But the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is the god of money. Not money, it's the god of money. Now, you got to really draw this distinction here. Because mammon causes you to trust money as your source. And you can't serve mammon and God at the same time. Because the God wants to be our source. Jesus gave the parable about the lilies. They neither toil nor they spin, but they're beautiful. And the birds that's flying, they don't worry about tomorrow. And he says, take no thought for tomorrow. And it doesn't mean that you don't have thought and that you don't plan. Obviously, in this world, we have to manage our finances. But we don't manage it with the thought, that is my source. You have to realize money is an extension of my labor. I labor and I get money in return and I can use that money to purchase things. But God is my source, not my money. And I tell you, we've talked about this many times and in different messages, and I'm not going to go any further in depth on that this morning, other than to say, don't take a money bag. We handle money, where money is something that goes through our hands, but we don't hoard money. We freely receive, we freely give. And the currency of the kingdom of God is giving. Given it shall be given unto you. And with the same measure you give, it will come back to you. Because it's trust, and you actually are going against the god of this world. And even when we give our tithe, we're giving a portion back to God to say, money's not my source, Lord. I'm giving 10% back, and I'm believing you'll bless the 90%, and it'll be better than if I had 100%. And that is the absolute truth. And everyone that has tried it realize that that is true. 90% with God's blessing is so much better than 100% and it being cursed. I want to give that 10% back to the Lord and receive the blessing on the 90%. Don't take a money bag with you. Here's the second thing the Lord says don't take. Don't take a knapsack. Don't take a knapsack. Well, what would you need a knapsack for? To put things in as you travel. It's the items, it's the things you're going to pick up along the way. You see something nice, so you put it in the suitcase. You put it in the knapsack. The Lord says, don't take a knapsack. This business of the kingdom is such that you can't bother yourself with picking up stuff along the way that you think is nice and I'd like to keep. Don't take a knapsack. How big is your knapsack? How big is my knapsack? The things that we possess, the things that we have. Notice what the scripture says here in Luke 12, verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable saying, the ground of a certain man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. That's a big knapsack. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. How are you rich? Do you see riches in things that I have possessed? The more things I have, the more toys I have, the richer I am. That's the natural world thinking. But the Lord said, when you're traveling, don't take a knapsack. Don't think about the things you can accumulate. Think rather about the things you can give. We're very foolish to think about natural things more than spiritual. To consider our financial future and not consider our spiritual future. And that was a problem with this man. Not that he had crops, not that he had good things. We can be blessed. And many times God just adds things to our life. It's not that we go around in poverty. Many times God gives us things. It's the heart. See, it's the knapsack. Are you keeping it? Are you hoarding it? Is that what you're trusting in? This man trusted and said, I can take ease now. Everything's okay because I've got lots of money and I got lots of things. And the Lord said, you're very, very foolish to think that way. You need to be rich towards God. Rich in faith. The Bible talks about being rich in faith. I tell you, when you have faith in God, trust in God, you're acting out of faith, you're moving in faith, you are a rich person in the kingdom of God. So don't take a knapsack with you. Matthew 19:21, Jesus spoke to a young man who came to him and wanted to have eternal life. And he was working at it hard. And the Lord said, well, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept all the commandments. And then we read this in verse 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But the young man heard that saying, or when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Scripture says it's a hard thing for a rich man to enter into heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not hard for a man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's grace. Very easy for a man or a woman to enter into the kingdom of God is when you add the word rich. You know, you can get the man through the eye of the needle, but you can't get the knapsack through. You can't get the money bag through. You have to just trust God. Be rich in faith. This man had a tremendous opportunity. And in fact, it says, I'm not sure, it's in this portion, it's another verse that says, and Jesus watched him go. Oh, I wonder how many times the Lord has watched us walk away from our potential, walk away from what he has for us, walk away from all that he wants to do in our life. The riches, the eternal riches, the heavenly riches that could be ours, but we're so intent on natural riches and possessions. We're talking about packing your bags. He's talking here first about what not to pack. Don't take these kind of bags. Discard them. Don't take a money bag. Don't take a knapsack. What are you not to take? Well, in this portion of Scripture, he tells you, we have to pack our bags. So there, you have a bag. You got to take some things. But he says, first of all, don't take sandals. Well, that's interesting. He tells his disciples, now when you're going out, he said, don't take a money bag, don't take a knapsack, and don't take sandals. I don't know what totally that means. It didn't say don't wear sandals. But again, it's the laying up for the future with my own efforts. I'm going to take extra sandals. In other words, you got to pack light. Maybe not like Mr. Bean, only taking one shoe. But he says, don't take sandals. Pack light. Don't get bogged down. Now, I'm not a lady, but I'm told, and Kay's not really this way, although she does have a lot of shoes, I must say. But some ladies have a lot of shoes. In fact, there was a person who used to attend the church. They don't attend now. And actually came to me and said, I got to break. I can't go into a store with shoes and not buy a pair. And I know this is wrong and I need prayer. So sometimes, you know, you want to have stuff just extra fashions. So that's nice. That goes with this. I got to have another pair of shoes. All that means in a spiritual sense, and I don't know all the analogy out of it, but the Lord just said, don't take sandals. You need to be intent. You need to be focused. You need to travel light. You need sandals, but don't take extra things along. I wonder how many extra things we want to take with us. Not really bad things. Things that are good that we are using, but we want some extra. We want to take something just a little extra with us. I think it's different for each one of us. We all have something a little extra that we want to take. Listen to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. How entangled are you getting with the things of this life? Entangled. Now, we're in this world, but we're not of it. But if you're in this world and you're of it, you get entangled by it. It twists its tentacles around us. We really realize, I'm not of this world, and I have to be in this world, but somehow the world is getting in us. Somehow I think this whole matter addresses this. Don't be entangled. Be on mission. Don't get sidetracked. Narrow your focus. This is what I'm about. This is what this life is about. This is what I'm striving for. This is what I want to accomplish. It's not about money sacks. It's not about knapsacks. It's not about having extra sandals along the way, the extra stuff. No, I'm on mission. I'm on focus. I don't want to waste my time. So those are items. The first one is sandals. Now here's the second thing that you shouldn't pack. And I just summarized it this way. Clothes of captivity. Clothes of captivity is your fill-in. It's taken from Deuteronomy 2 in verse 13 where it says, she shall put off the clothes of her captivity. Now this is regarding, if you go to Deuteronomy, how they integrated foreign wives into the culture. That they were taking women, wives, who were raised in another culture, and actually enemy culture, and now they are taking them as wives. And so the instruction to them were, when you take this wife into your house, she needs to put off the clothes of her captivity. The clothes of the previous culture. The clothes that she would normally be wearing that would identify her with the other country, the other culture. She needs to put the clothes of captivity away. Let her be clothed with the clothing of our culture. And so it says to put off the clothes of captivity. I was looking through the scripture and I found this verse. Here are some clothes of our captivity. Number one, sackcloth. Sackcloth. It says in Psalms 30 and verse 11, you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Put off your sackcloth. Looked up what sackcloth was. It's a old, sturdy garment. It's a horsehair. It's itchy. And sackcloth was put on when you were mourning. If someone in your family died, they put on sackcloth. It wasn't very nice. It showed, I am devastated, I have nothing, and I'm inflicted, and I'm inflicting myself even more by putting this on. It was bad, but this is making it worse. I'm wearing this horsehair garment, this sackcloth. And the scripture says, as children of God, we need to put off our sackcloth. Are you wearing sackcloth? What would you wear it for? You would wear it when you're mourning a sense of loss. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. A lot of us are wearing sackcloth. You have a sense of loss. And it can go back to money in the knapsack. Oh, things aren't going well. Don't have very much money. You're feeling down. You're feeling a sense of loss. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. Could be a relationship. You're sensing the loss of a relationship. And it's got you down. You're feeling bad. What you don't realize, you put on sackcloth and it's even making it worse. The situation was bad enough, but now you put on this mood. You put on this attitude. You put on this gloom. And I walk in the gloom. You're walking with sackcloth on. Don't pack that. On this journey deeper, you got to put it off. Put off the sackcloth. Now, notice what the scripture says here in Psalm 30, 11. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Everyone say gladness. Gladness. Are you glad? Are you happy? You won't be glad and happy if you're looking at things, if you're looking at circumstances. You will always have a sense of loss, and the devil wants to hold that over you. He wants to cripple you. He doesn't want you to be clothed with gladness. He wants you to think about the bad things of life. He wants you to think about every potential loss. They shouldn't have treated me that way. I shouldn't have had to bear that reproach. That was wrong how they did that to me. And we have a sense of a loss of dignity, a loss of pride, a loss of expectation. You expect to be treated a certain way. And when you're not treated the way you expect to be, you feel a sense of loss. And if you're not careful, you'll put on the garment of heaviness. And you'll wear sackcloth. And now it's not just the loss that's the problem, but you're making yourself even worse. It's itchy. It's uncomfortable. You're telling everybody about it. You're telling them about the situation, but really, it's the gloom you put on that's causing most of your problem. Put off your sackcloth. Am I talking to anybody today? Put on the spirit of gladness. Here's what it says in Philippians 2:14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, arguing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Why and how will you shine like a light? When you do all things without murmuring, complaining, arguing, all things. Well, no, I'm going to complain about the things that are wrong. Doesn't say that. I'm going to complain about my loss. You'll be putting on sackcloth. Listen, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He works all things together for good. You can be glad about the bad things because he's working it for your good. If you don't think he's working it for your good, you're going to have a sense of loss and you're going to put on sackcloth and you won't shine in this world at all. People will walk by and feel sorry for you. In fact, you want them to feel sorry for you. Don't whine. Don't complain. Christians should be the most pleasant people in the world. The most confident people, the most optimistic people. That's who we are. We're blessed. And our hope is in God. Our trust is in God. We're not looking to our reputation here or my comfort here or what I've packed here. Our goal is to serve God and be what he wants us to be and shine in this world. And listen, he'll put you in dark places so you can shine. He wants you to have a peace beyond understanding. He doesn't want you to just only have peace when things are peaceful. He wants you to have peace when no one can understand why you have peace. That's the peace that goes beyond understanding. It's a peace that comes from God, trusting him, putting your complete life in his hand. It's packing light. It's traveling with him and knowing that he's going to support you along the way. Here's the second thing that you're not to pack. Baby clothes of carnality. Baby clothes of carnality. I say that because it says in 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for unto now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" How much of your old life are you still wearing? The carnality that causes strife, divisions, envy. It says you're carnal, you're living in the flesh, you're not living in the spirit. You need to put those things off. Colossians 3:8, "But now you yourselves are to put off these things." See, you're putting something off. You're not taking this with you. Anger. Don't take anger with you on your spiritual journey. Wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. This is just a short list over and over in the Bible. It gives extended lists of the works of the flesh. Don't pack these clothes. Take the scissors and cut them up. Throw them away. Don't take these clothes with you. Look at John 11:43. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Listen, we all have been dead in trespasses and sin. The Lord has given us new life. There's a new life we're to live. It's a resurrected life. I believe you've received it. The problem is, just like Lazarus, we can come out of the grave, come out of the past, but we're still wearing grave clothes. The things that helped us to cope with our death situation. That's why they wrapped it. It was going to be decaying. They wrapped the mouth with the cloth because it didn't gape open. It was things that help you cope with the life without having life. And there are a lot of things that we have learned to cope in our past state, our carnal life. How we got even with people. Why we get angry. Why we have wrath. Why we envy. It's how we cope. It's how we handle these things. The Bible says, put those things off. Don't take them with you. They won't get through customs. When you go through customs, you can't take any firearms with you. No bombs. I had a friend, this is years ago, he was getting on this plane and the steward asked him something about his computer and he said, jokingly, oh, that's my bomb. Well, they didn't take that. Now, that was before 9/11. And they were really touchy even back then. Even so, you don't joke about any of those things. And you can't take certain liquids with you. Why can't I take that little bottle? They confiscate it. And every now, almost every time we travel, we forget somehow. In our hand luggage, they'll, should have packed that in the luggage that's, you know what they call it when they take, check luggage, yes. Why? Because you can make a bomb out of those liquids. Can't take powders, you can make a bomb. Listen, there are some things that we think we can take with us in our spiritual life, and we look at them and say they're harmless. Well, anger, that's just a little thing. But you mix anger with something else, and you mix lust with something else. It becomes a bomb, and they won't let you go through customs. I wonder, God, when you want to go on the spiritual journey with the Lord, when you have all these things packed, but they're just a little thing. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. That's just a small little knife. That's just a box cutter. Can't take it on the plane. There are some things that you want to take with you, you think are harmless, and the Lord says, don't take those things with you. They're destructive. They're going to blow up your life. Don't take them with you. What are you to pack? Let's move here quickly. What do you pack? Pack your new clothes. Pack your new clothes. Wear the fashions of the kingdom, of our new culture. Put off the clothes of captivity and put on some new clothes. See, every culture has its traditional dress. Germans, and we have come from a German city, and so every Oktoberfest we see a lot of lederhosen and dirndls. The British have their tweed jackets. India, they have their saris. I brought a sari back for Kay. I don't think she's ever worn it, but when I was in India just before we were married, Mexicans have their ponchos. Scots have their kilts. Canadians have our toques. What's the kingdom of God known for? What is the dress in the kingdom of God? What would you put on? Here's what it tells us in Colossians 3. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love. Put it on. This is the clothing of the kingdom. Put off the clothing of captivity. Put on the clothing that represents the kingdom of God, which is the bond of peace. All these things. Put these things on. I think you could put it down to love, integrity, forgiveness, and excellence. That sort of has a ring about it. The book I wrote, talking about four garments that Christians wear. Love, integrity. We have the spirit of forgiveness. We do things to the best of our abilities unto the Lord. This is what we should be donning as Christians. I'm moving quickly here. Here's the other thing you should take. Fruit. I don't know about packing fruit. Years ago, Kay and I, when we were first year of starting the church, we went to a conference in Salt Lake City, and we traveled with another couple, the Moores, one of my spiritual mentors. I still remember, I don't know why it sticks in my mind, because this is going back a lot of years. We stopped just before we crossed the border at this fruit stand, and I still remember, I always call him Brother Moore, because that's how I knew him. He said, well, we have to have fruit if we're going to travel. So they bought all this fruit, and we headed in the car, and we ate fruit as we traveled. Well, you know, in the kingdom of God, we just take some fruit with you as well. Here's what it says in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling. See, we're walking, we're moving, we're on a journey. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul writes another place, he says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Much as depends on you. But you know what? Many times we're not living at peace because we're wearing the other clothing. And we have strife and envy and arguing and complaining. And we realize, why don't we shine? Why aren't I moving any deeper? You can't pack those things. And take this clothing of the kingdom. Here's your final fill-in of things to take. Take specific items for your destination. Now, this is where it comes down to you more particularly. We've been talking more general. But God has a particular destination for each one of us. And you've written it down, hopefully. And you've got some aspect that you're moving towards, believing the Lord's led you, we want you to go there. What do you need to take to get there? What are some of the things that you should take? Well, if you're going to a southern climb in the natural, you want to take suntan lotion, some sand shoes, maybe some bug repellent. Maybe you change the currency, depending on where you're going. You need to think about the particular place you're going. You need to take your passport. Yeah, you may need to get a visa, depending on where you're going. So what I'm saying, wherever that destination you wrote down, I hope that you've got it in mind, you're moving towards the destination, you have to ask yourself, Lord, what do you want me to take when I get there that I'm going to need? Start believing for it now. It might be a certain talent, ability, growth in a certain area, because you realize when I get there, boy, that's contrary to, I want to get there and I got to change some things, so I maybe have to get a different vehicle, a different habit, how I'm going to get there. So think it through, what you need to pack to overcome the obstacles, the terrain, the things in that place, because he sends us forth as lambs among wolves. It's not always a welcoming place where God's taken you. There's a lot of wolves there, and he's sending you to shine like a bright light, to be a lamb among wolves. So what are you packing? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you for this emphasis you've given us over these weeks of traveling. And Lord, your word is so clear here of what we should pack and not pack. But Lord, there's so many things we're taking with us. that's just bogging us down and hindering us. We've known it, but we haven't acted on it. We've accommodated these things. We have a suitcase and we're putting them in and we're trying to take it with us. But Lord, I don't want to take these things. Lord, we're saying as a people, help us to pack what you want us to pack. Help us to wear the clothes you want us to wear. Help us not to react, but act the way you want us to act. So I pray, Lord, that we put on all these aspects. We'd pack our bags and you'd be pleased. And we can move through customs, Lord. Get on board what you want us to be on, moving where you want us to go. So may this message lodge in our hearts and the hearts of this people today. May we chew on it, think about it in the small groups, Lord. I ask, Lord, you'd help people to work this through. The handout sheets that are available, Lord, I pray that as people pick them up and take them home, that they will be able to work through these aspects in their own personal life. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do pick up the sheets at the back for those in small groups, and if you're not in